Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Data Protection Gumbo. I am Demetrius Malbro, your host, and today we are going to talk about the state of SaaS resilience, something that we definitely need to talk about. And I am joined by someone I have been trying to hook and get onto the podcast forever, Simon Taylor, who is the CEO at Haiku. Simon, welcome. How are you?
Demetrius, it's great to be here with you. I'm sorry it's taken so long. I actually remember our first time together was in the middle of COVID, and I was sitting in my Vermont house, and we were talking about what we were going to build, the world of SaaS. And so it's exciting to be here. What is it, 4 years later, talking about all the wonderful things that we're doing and, you know, what's going on in the SaaS world.
Absolutely. And so let's dive into the report. And so what I understand is that there was about 417 plus IT decision makers. So we're talking across Europe, the UK, United States, Japan, Singapore. So it's widely distributed across. So it's just not representing one part of the world. Mm-hmm. And it's also going into cyber resilience and also some of the usage around SaaS. And just diving into what are some of the fantastic numbers and some of the surprising and troubling numbers that we are finding from that perspective as well. So why did you guys decide to, number one, run this particular survey?
Yeah. So if you remember, Demetrius, I wrote a book about a year ago called Averting the SaaS Data Apocalypse. And you know, I was shocked. You know, the joke internally was, well, Simon, this is great. You'll be the only one to read it. And then it went on to become this Amazon bestseller. And I think a part of the reason was we were tapping into this major vulnerability in the marketplace, which is the set world of SaaS. Mm-hmm. I think if you look back, you know, and again, Haiku is the world's fastest growing data protection as a service company and the world's number one leader in SaaS data protection. So we've been seeing this, you know, at the sort of the forefront of our business, which is that we felt like more and more ransomware attacks were occurring because of SaaS or through SaaS. And I always like to start these things off by saying, we're not anti-SaaS. In fact, Haiku mm-hmm. is a SaaS service itself. You know, so you might be saying, well, why are you out here throwing shade on SaaS? We're not at all. What we're saying is that in the world of SaaS, the shared responsibility model dominates. And basically what that says is that they will provide the service. The SaaS service is going to be up and running. They're going to back up their data, but they're not backing up yours. And I think that for us was a really big takeaway. And I ended up writing this whole book about the fact that if you have a lot of SaaS services, what you're essentially doing is you're either doing one of two things. You're expecting that the magical SaaS fairies are out there protecting your data, mm-hmm. or you're owning up to the idea that you've lost control of your data and you now need to find a new way to get it out there and back it up and protect it. So as a part of the process of sort of educating the general public around all the benefits of SaaS and what they must do to protect their data, we said, well, let's go to the source. Instead of just saying what we think, let's go out there and run a true primary research survey and really try to understand what's going on there out there in the marketplace. So mm-hmm. we're not assuming, we've got actual quantified data that we can use to sort of help the market to understand this risk threat. And I would say that, you know, coming into it, a couple of major things. You know, we initially, when we started Haiku, we sort of said, you know, we assume that most companies have about 30 SaaS services. We knew mm-hmm. that at Haiku, we had about 96. We thought that was pretty high. Well, it turns out the average mid-market company has their data in no less than 212 different SaaS services. So think about that, right? Like, let's say that you've got, I don't know, 20 petabytes of data in your business. Well, those 20 petabytes, about 80% of them are running in a place that's out of your control. You don't have a local copy of the data. You've got no ability to restore the data should there be a problem. And so I think that was learning number one.
Okay.
Learning number two, which I will say, I've gotten into some big arguments with cybersecurity folks about this. In fact, I was on with the CEO of a major cyber company this morning. And he just kept saying, no way, no way. And we showed him actually the actual data. And he was in shock. He was gobsmacked.
And he said no way about the number of SaaS apps or
no. What I said to him was what I'm about to tell you now.
Okay.
Which is that we asked the question, what percentage of your or if you've had a ransomware attack, that's question one. So yes or no. And then we sort of said, if you had a ransomware event, did it occur through SaaS or through on-prem or through cloud?
Hmm.
Of those respondents who had had a ransomware attack were hit through SaaS, so through some version of SaaS.
Right.
So for those of you who are sitting out there going, SaaS is not something I need to worry about, that's their problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much your problem. 61% of ransomware attacks are occurring through SaaS services. And so, you know, what that says is not don't use SaaS. What it says is back up your SaaS, or as we like to say, back your SaaS up. That's it. That's it. You've got to be able to recover. You got to be able to recover so you don't have to pay that ransom. You can get back to business.
Now, let me ask you this question. So this is not something that's widely being discussed, because when you hear ransomware, you only hear about this organization, this company has been attacked with ransomware, right? And then they have to, whether it was material or not, you just hear about it on the news and they don't go into details about how.
Yeah.
Right. And they typically hire outside cybersecurity firms to kind of help them figure out and determine. And then weeks later or months later, you end up hearing something about what really happened on side channels, right? Like blogs and, you know, independent people will go out and write about what they heard anonymously. Right. But I often don't hear about SaaS as being that point where ransomware can actually exploit or get into your particular environment, because it makes sense to me, because you're in control of your data, right? You have to protect it. Yep. And I know this report opened a lot of eyes. Is there something else that you really were shocked by after taking a look at all the numbers from this survey?
I'm gonna give you a two-part answer to that. The first thing that shocked me was not in the survey. It was the CrowdStrike debacle.
Okay.
And so, you know, we saw 100% year-over-year growth in the month of August as a result, I think, in big part to what happened with CrowdStrike. Because you do rightly point out, you don't have people on the street other than perhaps myself and a handful of others. I know, you know, Corey Thomas of Rapid7 has said some things about this. You know, there are folks who are deep in the street with cyber and with data protection who are talking about how to protect your SaaS.
Right.
But when you can, everyone sort of said, whoa, wait a second. You mean this third party company that's not in my basement, my IT department has nothing to do with, suddenly had all of this incredible impact on the entire world economy? Wait, that's a problem.
Right. Okay.
So now let me layer in the survey. One of the questions we asked was, are you backing up your SaaS data? And is it something you can restore? In other words, can you get back online? Can you get your data back in the event of a breach, an emergency, an accidental deletion, a patch, et cetera? 90%, Demetrius, said they were not able to restore SaaS data. 90% of respondents.
Man, what are we going to do? Because I've been beating this drum for so long. And you've been beating it. There's been a lot of us. But I don't know. If we figure out a way to really make this critical for organizations and even us, right? We have SaaS apps.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
Right? So we need to back our own data up. And I remember my website was hit a while ago. Data Protection Gumbo was hit. And they were running some stuff behind the scenes and I found out about it. And it literally took me a while to recover because I wasn't backing up my own data.
You know, it's so funny you mentioned this, because we actually, without naming names, you know, we had did another podcast and something was just accidentally deleted and the data wasn't backed up. And I was joking about it behind the scenes. I said, well, this entire podcast has been about backing up SaaS. This is a great example of why you have to do it. It's not always these big existential threats. Sometimes it's Jim, the intern, who accidentally was doing a patch or just did something wrong. And, you know, the other thing I think that is really coming to bear, you don't often hear me talk glowingly about what's going on with regulators. But in this particular instance, I think the regulators are absolutely right. Financial services regulators are starting to go out and ask a very simple question to CIOs and CISOs in the financial services industry. And what they're saying is, show me your local copy. Remember in the old days, Demetrius, it was, oh, well, if you're in financial services, you keep all the data for 7 years.
Right.
Well, that's great. Well, what if all your payroll data is in Workday? What if what if you're doing all your ticket tracking in Jira? You know, what if your configurations are all in Okta or Entra or whatever it is? You know, ultimately, you must be able to restore those and show regulators today where those files are. And so I think that alone is having a very big, big impact on our business, but I think it's going to help to move the needle. I think the second thing is, you know, we always say at HiQ, if you can't see it, you can't protect it. Mm-hmm. One of the challenges is if you go to the to an average CISO or a good CIO, a really good one, and you say, hey, how many SaaS services do you have? They'll start going like this. It's kind of like, you know, when you used to, you know, add numbers with your fingers, you know, they'll go, you know, oh, Salesforce,
yeah,
DocuSign, we use this one, we use Okta, we use that. And then they'll kind of stop and you'll see the guy next to them kind of hand them the note card and sort of say, here's the other 960 that we use. People are no longer aware. They've ceded so much responsibility for SaaS to the lines of business. I think IT's got to bring it back. And so what we say is, if you can see it, you can protect it. We have a free tool. You just go to hycuhaiku.com. You can turn on our graph. It's absolutely free. And what it does is it automatically discovers your entire environment. It will tell you every SaaS app in every single department in your business. And it will sort of beautifully organize all that data for you. Mm-hmm. And then if you want to, you can back it up and pull up a marketplace, et cetera, and use HiQ. But you can also just for free understand the threat vectors. You can see where all your SaaS is. And I guarantee you, in the words of Randy George from the Boston Red Sox, he ran this and he says, he gets on TV with us and he said, you know, we had 920. We're the Boston Red Sox. 920 SaaS apps. He goes, I thought maybe 100, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. 920. No way. So what I always tell everybody is just turn on our graph, just visualize your data, you know, understand what you have. And then whether it's a process improvement, whether it's going through and trying to figure out how you're going to back it up, whether it's just looking at it, calling the lines of business and saying, how did you buy this without telling me? I think we got to help the IT world to regain control of their infrastructure. And I think the starting point is visualizing where all their SaaS apps are at.
Yeah, and I thought it was genius when you guys rolled out the whole API, add your SaaS application to HiQ. So I think you started something where literally any SaaS app you can log in and maybe add some information, and then some API things happen on the back end, and then you can pull in the data and start sending that data over to your repositories. Am I correct?
You're 100% correct. We call it letter R
dash cloud. Okay.
You know, and that refers to resiliency. It refers to recovery. It refers to the fact that it's your cloud, not ours, right? But the idea behind our cloud is really a universal API so that any SaaS service can come online, use our AI-enabled low-code development platform to automatically back up their SaaS service. You shouldn't, as a SaaS service, say take away from this, oh, we've got to go into the backup business. Not at all.
Yeah.
Right. All we're saying is engage with us so that you can very easily give your customer an option. Keep the shared responsibility model. I'm not trying to break that. Mm-hmm. What we're trying to do is give people optionality so they can have enterprise level data protection. And I'll give you a great example of this. There's a wonderful company called iManage, letter I, manage. Mm-hmm. And iManage, if you're not a lawyer, you might not have heard of them. But if you are a lawyer, you've definitely heard of them, because every major law firm in the world basically stores all of their confidential files in iManage. And the CEO reached out to me a little while ago and he just said, hey, I saw our cloud. And he goes, you know what? We agree with you. We want our customers to have the ability to back up their data and restore it, you know, in sort of at the drop of the hat or a click of a button. Mm-hmm. And we partnered with them. They used our universal API and we launched it this year. It actually comes out, the GA is in December. And, you know, 4,000 customers are now going to have all of their legal data instantly recoverable
with
the click of a button. And so I think examples like that, it's not necessarily, you know, the SaaS service that everybody's using or everyone's heard of, but my gosh, all those confidential files now being instantly recoverable. I think that gives peace of mind to the users, to the customers, and we're seeing just wonderful traction with things like that.
Yeah, that's a great story. And one of the main reasons why organizations and people in general as well use SaaS applications is because it's supposed to be super, super simple.
Yeah.
Right. Point, click, sign up for an account, go through the portal, point, click, drag, drop. There you go. It's happening for you and your organization with that application, right? You don't have to, you know, have any expensive servers running on the back end. All that stuff is taken care of for you. But going back to the survey, I'm looking at 43% of respondents said they lack the staff with the required skills to protect SaaS application data.
Yeah.
And trying to figure out what that's all about.
What does that even mean? You know, this goes back to this interesting thing. It's kind of like, I mean, you've been around the backup and data protection space for so many years, right?
Yeah, right.
I mean, it goes back to when you talk to an engineer and they say, oh yeah, we back up SQL because we just, you know, write a script for it. Right. And then you go to a major company and you say, well, are you writing scripts for all your databases and apps? No. You know, we're going to use Veritas. We're using, you know, some other, you know, backup and recovery product.
Right, right.
You know, we're using Dell. We're using Haiku, you know, whatever it might be. I think in the SaaS world, the sort of the Band-Aid approach has been for those companies in the know, they don't even bother to see if there's a vendor that will protect them. They just literally go, well, maybe I'll try to write a bunch of scripts for these things. And then all of a sudden, a company that, you know, was resource constrained in the beginning, which is why they went to SaaS, is now being forced to build scripting so that they, and then supporting it. And ultimately all it does is do bulk, you know, snapshot recovery, if that, you know, right. Or bulk backups where you're then recovering enormous amounts of data. Everything at Haiku, as you know, is recoverable back into the platform, and everything is recoverable based on specific vernacular that is germane to the individual SaaS app. So if you're backing up Jira, you're going to restore tickets, events, on a calendar, on a schedule. Your downtime is going to be reduced. We're going to get you to the granular level of detail you need to recover that data really fast. And so I think what we got to do is shift the mindset from this homegrown approach. You know, how much of your business depends on Salesforce, and you're not, you don't have a real enterprise solution to recover Salesforce? That doesn't make sense. Let's use Haiku. You know, DocuSign, how much of your business is based on DocuSign? Right. Like how many contracts do you have that if they all disappear tomorrow morning, or somebody accidentally deleted them, or a malicious employee removed them, would cause you problems? You back it up with Haiku. Right. Like let's make it common sense that you need to back up and recover your company data, regardless of where it sits, whether it's on-prem, public cloud, or SaaS. And I think for us, that's been sort of the big movement is how do we sort of make that happen?
Great, great insight there. And before I let you go, I do want to get your perspective on the future. So AI was hot, but I think it's kind of cooling now, and investors are acting kind of weird and wonky with NVIDIA, and they released numbers and the numbers were awesome, but yet the stock still dropped. Right. So I don't know, you know, what's going on with the market, but I do know artificial intelligence is here to stay. And what's your prediction from an AI ML perspective? Are we going to see more of an acceleration in the backup industry, or will things just kind of level off and we'll not hear about it anymore?
So you know, I think, you know, AI is an evolution, not a revolution. I think we investors, the markets, the newspapers, the media, we love to have revolutions. We love to have that one big pop that changes the world. We love to find the next Facebook or the next, you know, Twitter or whatever it is, right? But the reality is that AI is getting its hooks into every aspect of our lives.
Yeah.
And I think from that perspective, I sort of joke that we're still in the pets.com era of AI versus the sort of Web 2.0 version. And so I don't think we've found the Amazon yet. I don't think we've found the Google. I think what we have done, though, is we've realized that the internet is here to stay, or in this case, AI is here to stay, and it's going to keep evolving. Yeah. I think the impact on data protection is that it's going to make the development of data protection integrations really, really swift. And so I think those that have truly extensible architecture win, and those that have what I call, you know, data protection 2.0 are going to lose. And what 2.0 is essentially, hey, I'm a big company. I have six different products. One supports cloud, one supports on-prem, one supports this, one supports that. I think that model breaks because ultimately what we don't want to have is an application, a backup for every app that we support.
Yeah.
Right. I think that sort of Swiss Army knife approach is going to be driven by AI. And I think the speed, the breadth, the depth of a truly extensible architecture is going to only be helped by something like artificial intelligence.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that insight as far as, you know, where you see AI headed within the data protection industry. And maybe one more question from you as well, maybe like a personal question. What's sure. keeping you up? I don't think you have little kids, but what's keeping you up at night is just, as far as, you know, just overall the industry is concerned, what are you thinking about? What are some of the most complex problems that you're trying to solve right now? Not getting you to reveal roadmap.
No.
Or anything, but just, you know, yeah. What's in that brain of Simon Taylor?
Yeah. So first and foremost, in case my son Benji hears this, I do have an 11-year-old, love him very much.
Okay.
here's what I would say is that, you know, for me, it's about education and information at this point. I think we've got a terrific platform that works really well. We've got 4,000 customers using it. That leaves approximately 260,000 customers in the mid-market that are not using it. And what I worry about is that as SaaS becomes more and more pervasive, as we go from 212 different SaaS apps per company to potentially 2,000 per company, you know, we start to very quickly lose control of what's happening. And so what I want to see is more companies using our graph. I want to see more companies turning it on, so they can at least start to visualize how much data they have in so many different data silos. Mm-hmm. And I think that if we can start to really make that happen, I think we're going to be really, really effective. I mean, I don't know if you saw it recently, but we started a new partnership with Dell. And that new Dell partnership is really exciting, because what we're starting to see is that even a company the size of Dell is saying, wait a second, you know, if we can use data domain, if we can bring all of that data from all those SaaS apps and bring it back to Earth and start to protect Dell customers, we're going to really, really add a tremendous amount of value. So I think it's phenomenal. There's a lot of great milestones that we've seen. But, you know, the thing that keeps me up at night is very simply, how do we make sure that we keep the entire world, you know, really, really moving in a great place so that we can be successful and we can protect customers the way that they ultimately deserve to be protected.
Yeah, and congratulations for making it into the Gartner Magic Quadrant again.
Oh, thank you very much, Demetrius. We always appreciate it. You know, great to be a visionary, and we love to be a, you know, a part of that terrific Magic Quadrant.
All right. And one final shout out as far as, I guess, any resources or anything that you would like for the Gumbo listeners to take away from this conversation. And I know that they can go and download the survey, the report for free. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely. Just go to www.hycu.com, haiku.com. Don't just turn to get the survey, though. Turn on our graph. Start visualizing for free, completely free of charge. Just take a look, understand what you're dealing with, and then you can build a process to protect it.
And Simon, it's really been a pleasure to have you on and to finally have this conversation. I truly walked away with a few tidbits of information and insights from you as well. And I do want to put a plug in for all the listeners. Please check us out on YouTube. We have about 59 subscribers because I started kind of late on YouTube, but hit that thumbs up button, share it with your friends, Simon, share it with your network, and have people to check us out on YouTube, because that's a really great platform. Also, if you are not a part of the LinkedIn group, it's called Backup and Recovery Professionals. There's 26,000 people in that group. So if I can transfer all of the people from Backup and Recovery Professionals to YouTube, I think I would be great. All right, Simon. So thank you again for being a guest.
Thank you. I just want to say thank you again very much. It's been terrific being a part of this. And anytime, please let us know.
All right. Thank you for being a guest.